Well, welcome again to the Longest Night Service. That song was penned by Longfellow, the great poet, and touched by some sadness as well as looking around the world, and I think has a beautiful message for all of us. The second scripture reading is just a few verses after the first, and it is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It is this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This evening, actually. Well, as I was thinking about this series that we've been in, Christmas at the Movies, I never dreamed that we'd, on the Longest Night, be thinking about Christmas at the Movies. But then, as I was watching the movies with my daughter that we love, I realized there's one that really, I think, has something for us this evening. And so I don't know if you've seen the more recent Christmas movie called Christmas Chronicles. So if you haven't, then you should. And so I want to share a little bit about that and then weave in these two scripture verses. And so Christmas Chronicles starts out, and by the way, it stars, Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, and these two upcoming young people. They're really a lot of fun. And so it starts out, and these two kids, Teddy, who's a teenager, and his younger sister, Katie, Christmas has always been a great time for them. And the central figure around their Christmas was their dad, who was always taking videos and in the videos and was just the merriment. And so you see these collage of videos with dad and them growing up, which is just enchanting. And then you come to the present Christmas slam stop with the Christmas tree not decorated. And the kids are there. And we find out that dad, who was a firefighter, died rescuing somebody. And Christmas just isn't going to be the same because it's the first tour around the tree without dad. And so we find out that mom, who's doing the best that she absolutely can, is a nurse and working at night. And she has to leave Teddy in charge of his younger daughter, Katie. But Teddy is acting out because he's mad and angry at the world and God and everything else. And frankly, doesn't believe in Santa or anything anymore. And in fact, he helped some other teenagers, Katie found out because she was following him with a video camera. He had hotwire a car and took it for a joyride with a couple other kids. And she has the evidence on the video camera. Well, of course, you know, Teddy wants that. She threatens him. They go running around. And somehow, as they're tumbling around, they are fighting. And then all of a sudden, they're thinking, you know, he doesn't believe in Santa. She does. He says, "I'll tell you what, let's wait and let's video record Santa. We'll put out cookies and milk and we'll catch him and something special will happen." So they devise this elaborate plan with a video recorder and they're waiting for Santa. And then all of a sudden there's this flash and Santa's there and gone, but they hear some commotion on the roof. So they kind of go up there and there suspended out in front is this sleigh with reindeer. And so they're trying to reach it, and Katie falls in the sleigh. It's just suspended in midair, and of course, Teddy jumps in after her, and just as they're scrambling, Santa arrives and jumps in the front of the sleigh and throws his bag on top of them, and unbeknownst to Santa, takes off with the two kids in there. Well, they didn't know what to do because they don't want to get busted by Santa of all people, and so they're trapped. And so after a few minutes, they, at lightning-fast Santa sleigh speed, they say something to Santa, who goes crazy, and all of a sudden the sleigh is out of control over Chicago, and the sleigh's going into a dive. Katie falls out of the sleigh. You know, Teddy jumps out after her, and they're both going down. Santa has to, you know, take the sleigh down and rescue them, but he is out of control, and so he lands in a park in Chicago. And they're trying to figure things out, but the bag of gifts has flipped out of the sleigh, and Santa all of a sudden realizes that he's lost his magic hat. And he says, "Listen, I can make it, but I need my magic hat. We need to find the gifts." And so they start looking around this park, and they discover a bag and some of the presents. And meanwhile, they're looking for this magic hat, And Santa goes different places, and it turns out that Santa only has so much, you know, magic, and if he loses so much magic with his hat, then, you know, Christmas is over, he's in trouble. But they go different places, and they need to find this. They got a special kind of GPS that only Santa has. They need to find the rest of the presents, and so they go into this restaurant, and everybody Santa knows their name, and he proves it, and not only knows their name, but he knows what present they have when they're 5 or 6 or 7, and so he's amazing these people because he's asking for a lift in this bar, and they're kind of amazed what's going on, and then they find out that this guy who won't borrow him, who's the bartender, and who won't give him the car, that he stole a car. And Santa knows it. And so he says, you know, you're on the naughty list here. And so he gets out a baseball bat, chases him out. They didn't know what to do. And so little Teddy goes over to the valet stations and grabs the key to the car, right? And because he knows it's this red car, and then he goes over to Santa and tells him, hey, we can get away with the car. And Santa says, we shouldn't steal. He says, well, you know, we're actually stealing a car that's been stolen, so I guess it's okay. Meanwhile, the bartender's running out there with a baseball. So they jump in, Teddy gets the car, and it is a brand new red Dodge Charger with 700 horsepower. And just to see Santa tearing down the streets of Chicago in this with Teddy driving, it's just worth the whole movie right there. And so, of course, it's red for Santa. And the police are called, and the police are pursuing. It's a great chase scene in Chicago. You know, who doesn't like a chase scene in Chicago with Chicago police driving all over the place, especially with Santa? But at one point, the Charger goes up in the air and comes down in the snow, and they can't get it to go, and so they're busted. And, of course, the police don't believe it's Santa. Meanwhile, they're trying to get the reindeer. So Katie is trusted by Santa to go find the reindeer, okay? And Teddy is there with Santa, and Santa tells him that he needs to just go look for this bag, and Santa takes the bus and goes to jail, okay? And so that's kind of the chapter, the first chapter of this thing. And so Santa is in jail. The sleigh is broken. Only Santa's magic can help, but the presents are strewn over the park. There's a magic bag, and then Santa is in jail. And meanwhile, Teddy goes to get this bag and finds it, and there's a gang of thugs who want them, and then they find out that Katie is inside the bag after a while, and that they're going to throw this into a fire. So it's just a mess. And so there it is. Santa's in jail. And I think in our own life sometimes, isn't there a sense in which joy is sort of in jail? I mean, if you've come to this service thinking, well, I've lost a loved one, and, you know, some people are celebrating, but I feel like, you know, it's just dark, and I'm without hope, and I'm away from some of those that I love, and the peace is not quite what I want. It feels like joy is in jail. And it's interesting because in this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, Isaiah is reaching out to people that are going into captivity. In fact, Isaiah is split into two parts. One is called the Book of Woes, and the other one's called the Book of Consolation. And so this is squarely at the beginning of all of that. And Isaiah is writing to people who are brokenhearted and who will experience even more heartbreak, who will be taken away in captivity to a foreign land, who will lose sons and daughters and moms and dads. And Isaiah speaks to them because literally some of them will be in jail and in prison. And Isaiah gives this beautiful imagery that I love. The people walking in darkness has seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And at the moment he speaks that, there is no light dawning anywhere. There's just the blackest, darkest of nights. And so he speaks a word of prophecy. And today, this evening, as you experience the longest night, and many folks, just as the days get longer and cloudier, have a little bit of seasonally affected depression, right? I get a little bit of that. But there's also, around the holidays, we miss those we love. We have memories, and they are bittersweet because we're missing someone that we shared so many memories with, and so we too feel like that joy is in jail. And so that's the first thing, that there is the shadow of darkness. But then there is the light dawning, and I think that's important, the light in the darkness. Now, in this great movie, and I highly recommend it, Teddy is trying to rescue Katie, who found the reindeer but parked them so she could go and jump into this bag. And this gang has got them, take them into this garage where they're breaking up stolen cars and selling the parts. And Santa's in jail, and Santa's trying to convince the police that he's really Santa. You can imagine how that's going. Not well. But he's telling them things. He's telling this one cop, he said, you need to call Lisa, your ex. She goes, how'd you know my wife's there? Oh, he says, she's waiting for your call. Why don't you go ahead and call her? And he just doesn't believe it anyway. But they're in the jail in a scene that I just love. And Santa goes over to these characters. He says, listen, if the Christmas magic keeps going down, the jail's just going to be filled. I mean, the city's going to go crazy. Darkness will just overcome this. And so all these characters start coming in there, and Santa goes over to this one, and he says, hey, do you remember that guitar that you had when you were, like, 12? And he goes, yeah. He goes, this is great Gibson, whatever. And just like that, Santa gives him this guitar. And then the guy next to him, he gives him a bass. And then he gives this other guy this trumpet. He says, I don't play that trumpet. He says, well, give it a try. And he starts playing it. And so all of a sudden, these guys start jamming in the jail, and Santa was Kurt Russell, which I didn't know Kurt Russell could sing, but he rocks it out. And then there's three gals that were thrown in there for not doing good things. They are also a choir, and everybody's in, like, costumes, and it's the best piece of Christmas music ever, I swear. And they're just going crazy, and the police come in, going like, what is going on, right? Some of them start believing, and this one guy, he gets a phone call from his ex, Lisa, and he answers it, and things are happening. And then it turns out that meanwhile, they've been getting these elves out of this bag, and so the elves invade, they free Santa, and then Santa turns out doesn't need it anyway. They have to now deliver all these presents, and so it turns out that Katie and Teddy get the ride of the life as they deliver all these presents, and they get a visit to the North Pole in the midst of all that. And while they're there, one of the elves tells little Katie that sort of in this bag is somehow transformed to the North Pole, that all the letters that have ever been written to Santa are in there. And so she goes on this magical circular escalator, and she goes up. You don't really know what she's looking up. But you discover that she's looking up her brother, Teddy, who doesn't believe in Christmas. And she looks at all his letters, and she sees the letters. And then there's a gap, and then she realizes there's a letter from that year, which she couldn't believe. So she starts to read it, and then she's in a hurry. She's got to go. And she's so touched by that, and so she puts it back, of course, but they go, they deliver all these presents, and then at the end of all that, there's a magic surprise as they sort of come home. But I want to pause right there for a moment and to think about the light and the darkness in Isaiah. Because just a few verses later, after this proclamation that there is darkness, but there is promise of light, are these beautiful words in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It is the promise that has always been looked forward as Christmas, as the fulfillment of the Messiah, or the promise looking forward to the fulfillment that will be in Christ. It says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, you can only imagine the people who may not appreciate it at the very moment that it was spoken were later taken into captivity and felt heartbreak. And every one of those sort of terms, a promise of a child, of course, was wonderful. They could barely comprehend it. All that would transpire seemed almost impossible. But I think all of them who had experienced loss and pain, which all of them could think about moments like this, Wonderful Counselor. For Christ will be and is the Wonderful Counselor. The person that we go to and we share our burdens and our heartaches and our heartbreaks. He's also Mighty God over everything. Even the things that we don't understand this side of life that only make sense in all of eternity. Mighty God, equal with the Creator of all things. Everlasting Father, eternal forever, and Prince of Peace. The one who will bring peace that transcends all understanding. And I wonder, in your darkness, the light that maybe is glimmering, because the light does shine brightest in the darkness. And I wonder maybe what of those four you need, if not all four, this evening or in this season. Wonderful Counselor, for God hears our cries and feels our tears as we weep. God is also mighty God overall for us as well as the Israelites. And God is everlasting Father. And God is the Prince of Peace. And even though we don't understand things, we know that there is a light that shines in the darkness, even as it did for ancient Israel, between that period and the period of them coming back, and even the fulfillment of that promise, which wouldn't come till hundreds of years later, in a manger, in a stable, in Bethlehem, a baby born to Mary by the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The light that shines in the darkness. And then finally, the gift. Well, the gift is this, because, you know, after all, Santa drops them off at their house after all these adventures. I don't want to give it all away. But he tells them they need to get the Christmas tree ready for their mom, who's working as a nurse, who was hoping against hope that they would do something. And Santa gives gifts, of course, for mom and for Teddy and for Katie. And they don't realize everything, and so they go and they decorate this tree after Santa's there, and they've been videotaping all of it, of course, all this time, because they're going to share the adventures of their lifetime, and they're going to show their mom this. And so mom walks through the door, and it's in the early morning hours, and she is enchanted to see this tree that was just nothing, because they didn't feel like decorating, completely decorated, and the best it's ever looked. And there's a present for her, and then the kids look, and of course there's a present for each of them. And they are enchanted by what's there, but little Katie is most enchanted by the present for her brother, because she knows what her brother wanted for Christmas. And you might be able to relate, because it's to see his dad again. Just like all of you. And there's a great little note from Santa that says, "Sorry, I couldn't give you exactly the wish that you want, but here's the best that I can do." And there's an ornament that's there. And so Teddy, of course, is disappointed by that in ways you can't believe. But so he takes the ornament and he hangs it on the tree. And as he's looking at the ornament, a beautiful gold ornament, he sees his reflection. But then, as he continues to look into the ornament, he sees his father's face in him. And I think that's a beautiful gift, because every time he looks, he's able to see that gift. And today, what I have to say to all of us is I think that there are moments in our own lives where God gives us a gift. Maybe it's an ornament, maybe it's something else, but when you look in the mirror, you do see your loved one in ways you couldn't imagine. Sometimes it takes a little imagination. Sometimes we see them there, or maybe we catch a glimpse of them in heaven's windows, but we know that they are there with us in our heart, and that in that moment, God can make incredible things happen. Well, what I'd say is, the videotape was taken by Santa, by the way. Meanwhile, Santa and his wife, who's Goldie Hawn, they're a real couple in real life, are having a great time watching this video. And but the better thing shared is the ornament, where Teddy can see in his own image his father back and forth with his. Now, I wish that I could give you exactly that ornament this evening, but I can't. But what I would like to do is I do have an ornament for you to take, and I have some colored pencils that you can decorate your ornament either now or later. I invite you to take a few minutes, and I'm going to put this out here, and you can come and take one. You can take one for more members of your family. And I invite you, while the music is playing here, to just take an ornament, and you can decorate it now or later with some things, some memories of your loved one, and to put that on your tree or somewhere, and to think about the memories that you have, that when you look at that, you can see the image of your loved one, and know that God's promise comes to us that we will one day be reunited in our heavenly home with that loved one, because God has given us the greatest gift in Christ, who brings us hope and peace and love and joy, and promises through his grace that through that gift we will have eternal life with our loved ones who've gone before. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Lord, we thank you for the gift of your life. We thank you, even through the veil of our tears, that you are here with us in the longest night and in every night. Help us in this season to think about your gifts, to treasure the memories of our loved ones, but also to treasure the promise that we will be reunited forevermore. We pray in Christ's name, amen. I invite you, as the music is playing, to come and get an ornament before we close the service in a few moments.